They are the 28 steps that Christ is believed to have climbed to be judged by Pontius Pilate. For centuries, at least, that's the tale told about the Scala Sancta, or Holy Stairs, here in Rome. Made of white marble and now encased in wood, the steps lead up to the Sancta Sanctorum, the Holy of Holies. It is here in this papal chapel that some of the Church's most precious relics have been venerated for centuries. But how did the stairs get to Rome, and who might have brought them from Jerusalem? Well, I put that question to Christian art historian Elizabeth Lev, who calls the area around the Basilica of St. John Lateran, once the home of the popes, Rome's own version of Jerusalem and Mount Calvary.
The area around St. John Lateran, it contains a series of monuments. We have a little bit further down the road, the Church of the Holy Cross, where there are all the relics, the greatest relics of the Passion. So the thorn, or two of the thorns, the headboard from Christ's cross. And then, moving a little bit further up, literally next door to St. John Lateran, we have this site known as the Sancta Sanctorum, the Holy of Holies. And there are the stairs venerated as those that Christ climbed to be judged by Pontius Pilate. But the top of the stairs, in this very, very special chamber, the special chapel, there was the greatest collection of relics in the world, the Pope's private collection in what was known as the Sancta Sanctorum, the Holy of Holies.
Who was the Pope that actually built that Sancta Sanctorum?
Well, that one's actually a little bit complicated because our first reference to this chapel is as an oratory or a chapel to St. Lawrence. And we find references to some sort of papal chapel connected to the old Lateran Palace around 700. There's a theory it might be a little earlier, but you can find documentation of various things that happened in this oratory of St. Lawrence as of about 745. But the chapel as you see it today was actually reconstructed by Pope Nicholas the III from 1277 to 1280, which makes it, among other things, one of the, or the only surviving testimony of the decoration of this papal palace. I mean, the popes were there for 1,000 years. It's the only surviving original decoration of that palace. And, of course, Nicholas III finishes the palace and finishes the chapel in 1280. The popes moved to Avignon in 1308, and everything in the Lateran is basically destroyed, but that little chapel survived. So it's also just a fascinating testimony of this last golden moment of the papacy before the so-called Babylonian captivity in Avignon.
In the 4th century, Rome's Emperor Constantine's mother, Helen, famously brought scores of precious relics from the early church in Jerusalem to Rome. I wondered, could the Holy Stairs have been among them?
I have to say that, unfortunately, the actual stairs of the Holy Stairs complex are they don't have any documents that would bring them back to the time of St. Helen, and in some cases that would be okay, except that there are many. The collection of relics at St. John Lateran was so significant that it was recorded in several occasions, and so the most important occasion is 1100, when it was written in mosaic, and the mosaic list still exists by the Sacrity of St. John Lateran, and these holy stairs do not exist on that list. They do not exist any earlier in any other reference, so it makes it a little difficult to understand how a relic so important, like something brought by Constantine's mother, could somehow go unnoticed. For example, Helen did discover the true cross, and we have documents galore going back to 354 talking about the rediscovery of the cross. So these stairs, the devotion doesn't really make its appearance in writing until the very late 14th century. And the devotion appears, and that's not even a devotion, it's referred to in about the second half of the 14th century as the Scala Pilazzi. And it seems that there was at some point a fusing of the word Pilazzi, which is kind of a bizarre transformation of the word palace, Palazzi, the Palatine Chapel, the palace stairs, to Pilazzi, which would be Pilate. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in there, that conflation of the two turned these stairs into these stairs that would have been at the palace of Pontius Pilate. Now, in 1450, we find this devotion up and running for Jubilee year 1450. We have it. We have testimony from bishops, from cardinals, from a wealthy Florentine on top of everything else. And so it makes us think a little bit about this resurgence of devotion to Christ's passion that takes place in this particular period.
But it's also a tradition that goes on today as well. We've seen now for centuries pilgrims who come to Rome, if they climb up those steps on their knees with bare feet, reliving Christ's moments on Mount Calvary, aren't they?
And that's exactly what makes the Holy Stairs so special, so important, that Sixtus V would actually build a whole building to house these special stairs. These holy stairs evoke a devotion, a memory of Christ's own humility. There, when you walk in the door, the first thing you see on the left and the right are these images of Christ, Christ alone in the garden, you know, praying about this, to take this chalice away from me. And then on the other side, you have the image of Pilate, this little Roman governor of this wretched little place, who sits there next to Jesus, and he's saying, here is the man, and he's telling Jesus, I have the power to save you if I want. And he has no power whatsoever. And those stairs, the idea of Christ climbing those stairs, is such an amazing testimony to the humility of Christ. Christ, first he takes on human form, and if that weren't enough, he allows himself to be judged by these other people who take advantage of this power of judgment to beat him, to flog him, to mock him, to crucify him. So this magnificent devotion, and perhaps a devotion that should always be encouraged again and again and again, is the reminder to put aside pride and to emulate Christ's exemplary humility.
Many of the relics that were contained in the Sancta Sanctorum, where are they? I know some of the containers, the boxes that held these relics are in the early Christian museum at the Vatican Museums.
Right. The relics themselves were removed, especially since now this is a place of fairly common transit. They were removed and they were brought over to the Vatican, to St. Peter's Basilica. The reliquaries, some of which are extraordinarily beautiful, silver, cloisonné, bronze, just magnificent examples of craftsmanship, were brought over to indeed the early Christian Museum of the Vatican Museums. You see it. You see many of them as you come out from the Sistine Chapel when you're going back towards the front door. And usually people just sort of pass them by. They're so wowed by the Sistine Chapel that these are some of the oldest testimonies, and these are the only real so-called treasures that we have left. And people are always convinced that we're in the Vatican Museum, so we're keeping big piles of gold in the vault downstairs, but actually we've been sacked so many times there's none of that. These few little things that were protected inside the altar at the Sancta Sanctorum, an altar that had, you can still see the remnants of the locks and the bronze cage. The sack of Rome in 1527, the Lansecondi tried to get in there. They wanted to get at those relics, but they couldn't. And so these few little objects are those few things that actually testify to these magnificent objects that they created for our precious relics in the Middle Ages.
I wanted to ask you also about the other two chapels. You mentioned that it was originally to St. Lawrence, but you also had added on the chapel of St. Sylvester. Why these two saints?
The complex of the Holy Stairs has, as you know, the central principal staircase, which pilgrims climb on their knees. Then there are two other sets of staircases for those who are not climbing on their knees. And those two staircases lead to two chapels that flank the inner cubicula, the inner sanctum of the Holy of Holies. The chapel on the left is dedicated to St. Sylvester, who is the pope to whom that area was donated. I mean, this is St. Sylvester, who was the pope who dealt with Constantine, who reaped this, if you will, conversion of Constantine, and was the one who originally began to set up the entire area, which would become the Cathedral of Rome. And then on the other side, we have, of course, St. Lawrence, our great Roman deacon and martyr, and again, a reminder of how much the Roman Church has given as witness to Christ. So this way of flanking, this way of embracing, if you will, that Sancta Sanctorum with these two great saints of Rome.
You said that the Sancta Sanctorum is a place of prayer that is superior in dignity to the Sistine Chapel. That's claiming a lot.
Yes, it's, well, again, it's its age and its its placement. It is the private chapel of the Pope. As a matter of fact, I think it was a Pope in 1100 who had his rooms placed right next to the chapel for ease of prayer in that chapel. And this chapel was the Palatine Chapel. It was the chapel for the Pope, his court, and his dignitaries.
It's very small, though.
It's very, very small.
So how do they all fit in there? I imagine
they used a little bit of the space on the outside. As a matter of fact, you see this in a lot of family chapels in Rome. This happens fairly often.
Sure.
There's like a little kind of broom closet corner, and then everybody else stands in the outside space. Plus, the whole personal space question that we pose ourselves in the 21st century is not the same thing in the Middle Ages. So it's very much pack them in, and the more the merrier. But the fact is that chapel, being the Palatine Chapel for the Cathedral of Rome, which was the residence of the popes from 313 and the legalization of Christianity, whereas the Sistine Chapel was built in 1477. It's replacing, yes, an older chapel, but this was the residence of the popes for 1,000 years.
Now, back in 1990, the Vatican Museum's former director, Carlo Pietrangeli, arranged the restoration of the Sancta Sanctorum, but it wasn't until just recently that funds were raised to restore the other parts of the shrine with the significant contribution of the Getty Museum in the United States. How has that project been going?
Well, I mean, to begin with, Carlo Pietrangeli, who remarkable, sort of the hero of all museum curators. He's also the man who began the work in found the funding for the restoration of the Sistine Chapel. It was, by the way, Parma Cotta, which paid, our prosciutto company, that paid for the cleaning of the Sancta Sanctorum. And it was quite a project because it turns out they had to do all the structural work. And now there's an association which is very interested in saving this incredibly important site, which is terribly run down. It's run out of the building next door called Sala Uno, and this group headed by Mary Angela Schroth, an American, went and spoke to the Getty and pointed out to the Getty Museum with its bottomless endowment, pointed out that this space in the 16th century was painted by some of the greatest painters of its age, particularly Paul Brill, who was one of the first landscape painters, absolutely. And so the Getty became interested. It paid for the entire preliminary photography and analysis of every square inch of that structure.
That's amazing.
On top of that, they also funded the work of the cleaning of the Chapel of St. Sylvester. The problem is that that's the end of the Getty's participation, and there's still a great deal more to do. And so there is, between the patrons of the Vatican Museums have taken an interest. And now, actually, something that's exciting is that you can go to the Scala Sancta and have this whole behind the scenes visit of the Chapel of St. Sylvester and the Sancta Sanctorum, which is ordinarily closed to the public. And this is part of these tours are part of their way of raising funds for the continuing and long continuing project of saving this last great monument from the 16th century that needs restoration.
Elizabeth Lev is a professor of Christian art and architecture at Duquesne University's Rome campus.